Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A community is in mourning. How people in Harnett County are remembering a school resource officer who died in a three-vehicle crash.
And it's a cool afternoon, and temperatures right now in the 40s. It'll be another cold night tonight. I'll show you how it will feel where you live tomorrow morning when you head out the door. Plus, upsetting is how a Michigan juror describes testimony from a woman convicted of involuntary manslaughter, what she says the mother could have done to prevent her son from carrying out a deadly school shooting.
We now know that a Harnett County deputy who died in a three-vehicle crash was the one at fault. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Just a few hours ago, we learned that the patrol car Deputy Chris Johnson was driving yesterday in Lillington crossed the center line of a road and then hit two other vehicles. WRAL's Julian Grace is live at the Harnett County Sheriff's Office, where our hearts are heavy today. Julian.
Renee, you said it correctly. Hearts are heavy out here. It's a very somber mood outside the Harnett County Sheriff's Office. And just look behind me. Flags are at half staff at this hour as the community mourns. Now, the accident happened around 3 p.m. Tuesday when Deputy Johnson's Dodge Charger crossed the center line, colliding with a tractor trailer near NC Highway 210, according to investigators. The impact caused Johnson's patrol car to spin and collide with the car behind the tractor trailer. The people of that car sustained minor injuries and were rushed to a local hospital, while Deputy Johnson tragically lost his life at the scene. One resident today shared her thoughts on what it means to lose Deputy Johnson.
They protect us, right? And whenever they pass, hey, it hurts bad. It's like family. Yes.
You heard it right there. It's like losing family. When we first came into town, we wanted to make sure that we talked to many of the residents here in this community. We wanted to hear what they had to say. This is what we're going to do now. We're going inside and we have an interview scheduled with Sheriff Coates in the next 2 minutes. He's going to share his thoughts on losing Deputy Johnson. Renee?
It's just heartbreaking all around. Julian Grace, live in Harnett County.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, we have an update to a murder case that we've been following since last December when a Morrisville mother was arrested for allegedly starving and murdering her young son. This afternoon, we have also learned the father of that boy has also been charged. Police records show that Shasha Kantawari is charged with negligent child abuse. He had a majority custody of the child and failed to care for the boy. It also states that he knew his wife Priyanka was in a mental health decline and did not communicate with anyone about it. Police say he showed a reckless disregard for human life. On December 20th of last year, Priyanka called 911 regarding her son, who was unresponsive. That child was unable to be revived. And police also say a significant amount of time had passed since the child's death due to the state of the body. Again, the child, the father in this case, has been charged this afternoon.
Northerly wind is keeping our temperatures cool today. It'll bring us another cold start tomorrow. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center right now with what it'll feel like when we step out tomorrow, Elizabeth.
It was a cold start this morning. We saw our temperatures dipping into the 20s and 30s. We take a look at what's happening outside right now. We have breezy conditions. It won't be quite as windy as yesterday, but if you remember yesterday, it was pretty blustery. It was making it feel really chilly out there. We have a northerly wind that's keeping things cool. Right now, it's 48 degrees. Our wind is out of the northeast at around 7 miles per hour. And we do have gusts up to 22 miles per hour in Fayetteville. But this time yesterday, we have more widespread gusts up to 25 or 30. We do have a steady wind out of the northeast at around 7 to 15 miles per hour. And that is enough to make it feel pretty chilly. We'll continue to see those 5 to 10 mile per hour winds until around sunset or so. And then we'll begin to see those winds dying down. A little bit of a wind chill right now. It feels like 45 in Raleigh, 39 in Roxborough. It feels like 43 in Southern Pines and 41 in Clinton. So it's cool out there. Our wind, as I said, is coming out of the northeast right now, but this high pressure system will slide eastward and switch our wind direction and start to warm things up on Thursday, Thursday night, and into the weekend. We're going to take a look at that coming up in just a few minutes, but we have one more cold night to deal with first. Our normal low is 33. We'll see 28 for tomorrow morning at around 7 or 8 a.m. It looks like the winds will be light, so hopefully we don't have too much of a wind chill to deal with. After that, our temperatures warm up considerably for the weekend in the morning. And and in the afternoons. I'll show you what to expect coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. An Ohio man is due in court this afternoon on charges he threatened a state senator in North Carolina, Todd Johnson. WRO's Ken Smith is here now with what we know about this investigation. Ken.
You know, Renee, based on the arrest warrant, these threats appeared serious enough that investigators suspected this man could carry them out. Well, this is the man we're talking about here, 38-year-old Nicholas Daniels. He's accused of threatening to kill State Senator Todd Johnson and his family. He is from West Portsmouth, Ohio. Now, we're working to find out if he was arrested in Ohio and brought here to North Carolina to face charges, or if he were already here in Raleigh where he was taken into custody. Well, Senator Todd Johnson is a Republican representing Cabarrus and Union counties. The threats against Johnson and his family were reportedly made back in October and November. Daniels is accused of posting the threats to Facebook. In one post, Daniels used an expletive while threatening to kill Senator Johnson. In another post, Daniels is accused of threatening Johnson's children. Daniels was arrested by the North Carolina General Assembly Police. He remains in jail on $250,000 bond. Again, he's due in court this afternoon. Look for new reporting on this story in our news starting at 4. Jeff?
Ken, thanks for that. We continue to follow issues in Durham Public Schools. This morning, there was no disruption to classes, but thousands of employees participated in a walk-in. They gathered before school and entered the building together in a sign of unity. WRO's Monica Casey is in Durham right now with what new developments we're expecting today. Monica.
Yeah, Jeff, we are ready and watching for a meeting here tonight, along with two more events happening here this afternoon, an employee rally and a press conference by local ministers. This morning was also busy for those DPS employees who continue to push on this pay issue. Take a look at this video. This was the walk-in this morning at Merrick Moore Elementary. It's one of more than 30 schools where the Durham Association of Educators organized these events. We spoke with Sue Sims, an instructional assistant there, about why this is important to her.
You stand together, you can't fail. When you divide, anything can happen, and we don't plan on failing. We're going to stay. We're going to stand. And we're going to voice our opinions until we get answers.
The chief financial officer for DPS, Paul Lasore, has already resigned in the wake of all of this. There are rumors about the future of Superintendent Pascal Mubanga, who has been in the job since 2017. Now the Durham Committee on the Affairs of Black People is cautioning the school board against, quote, hasty action. Walter Jackson wrote, quote, my efforts to understand what happened and why seem to suggest that responsibility is shared across several levels up to and including the school board, and a thorough investigation and review ought to be completed before actions are taken that could ultimately further damage DPS and its reputation. Now, tonight's meeting is listed as both open and closed session, but no agenda has been posted yet. It starts here at 6 o'clock. Jeff?
Yeah, we know they'll have a lot to talk about. Certainly Monica Casey live for us in Durham this noon. Thank you. A 14-year-old has been arrested and charged with murder in Raleigh. After midnight, Raleigh police confirmed the teen is in custody, accused of shooting a man on Poole Road. That shooting happened around 3:30 Monday afternoon. Sky 5 and the WRL Breaking News Tracker were live at that scene shortly after it happened. Police say the victim is 24-year-old Amari Goss, and he died after being shot several times.
The FBI is investigating after a police officer shot a man who they say robbed a CVS in Fayetteville. Investigators say the man robbed the store at the corner of Ramsey and Grove Streets at gunpoint Tuesday. Employees handed over the money in a bag, but they also put a GPS tracker in along with it. Police were able to track the man down to nearby railroad tracks. Dozens of evidence markers were on the ground.
Car pulled up real quick, and I thought it was something happened to our neighbor. And as the police was pulling up, we heard pop, pop. And I guess somebody got shot.
This is Sky 5 video of that scene. The man was rushed to Cape Fear Valley Medical Center. The officer who fired the shots was placed on administrative duty.
Now to Israel, where Secretary of State Antony Blinken held crucial meetings in Tel Aviv to press for a humanitarian pause in the fighting in Gaza. Blinken met today with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for a little over an hour. There's an added urgency now that Hamas is offering a potential deal to release Israeli hostages. The full Hamas response proposes three phases, each lasting 45 days. One phase requires Israeli troops to leave Gaza. But Netanyahu rejected that idea of a ceasefire, saying the conflict would continue until Hamas's leadership is killed. Fake robocalls that used President Biden's voice to discourage voting in New Hampshire's primary last month has been traced to a pair of companies in Texas. The FCC sent cease and desist letters to both companies. Separately, over 50 attorneys general from both political parties warned one company to cease any unlawful calls or risk being found in violation of consumer protection laws.
The EPA has finalized a key update to the federal air quality standard for fine soot. It's a step toward reducing deadly air pollution that's been over a decade in the making. The current standard limits the average annual amount of fine particle pollution. But the World Health Organization says it's not enough. Industry groups say the new standard is difficult to meet. Let's get a check of stocks now. Gains all around on the major indices. Dow Jones Industrial Average up triple digits, advancing 166 points. The big headline for Wall Street, the S&P 500, hitting an all-time record high, very close to 5,000, advancing 37 points. NASDAQ up 126 points.
Next at noon, a guilty verdict for the mother of a convicted school shooter. What this could mean for cases just like it moving forward.
Also, investigators determined the problem that led to a Boeing plane door to blow out mid-flight is not an isolated incident. What the FAA plans to do about it.
Plus, other cities do it, and now Raleigh is considering an alternative response team for mental health emergencies. At 12:30, how the program would work.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
A guilty verdict for the mother of a school shooter could have ripple effects across the country.
The jury convicted Jennifer Crumbly of involuntary manslaughter on Wednesday, and NBC's Maggie Vespa talked with family members of those people killed following the verdict.
We find the defendant guilty of involuntary manslaughter.
Jennifer Crumbly, silent and stoic as the jury announced her fate. Guilty on all four charges, one for each student her son Ethan killed in the 2021 Oxford High School shooting. As she was led away in handcuffs, prosecutors embracing the families of her son's victims. Steve St. Juliana lost his 14-year-old daughter, Hannah.
It's a bit of a wake-up call for people to realize that they have to take a bit of responsibility.
Crumbly is America's first parent to ever stand trial for their child's mass school shooting.
My son just ruined his life.
The defense arguing in court she was unaware of any mental health issues with her son.
I've asked myself if I would have done anything differently, and I wouldn't have.
But prosecutors painted a very different picture, portraying Crumbly as a negligent parent who ignored warning signs in Ethan.
He literally drew a picture of what he was going to do. He drew a picture. It says, "Help me."
And instead of getting Ethan help, prosecutors argued his parents bought him a gun, showing this video of Crumbly at a shooting range with him just days before the massacre. Experts say their verdict could profoundly impact how authorities prosecute these cases.
Does this open the door for parents to be held accountable for mass shootings, school shootings in the future?
It absolutely does. Police officers will start looking at the parents and the way they deal with their children.
Craig Schilling, who lost his 17-year-old son, Justin, hopes it will help prevent future tragedies.
Can't just continue living life with the uncertainty of whether or not our kids are going to come home from school.
It was Maggie Vespa reporting. And this morning, the jury forewoman talked to Savannah Guthrie on Today, and she described the evidence that sealed the guilty verdict for her.
Feel like Jennifer didn't separate her son from the gun enough to save those lives that day.
Jennifer Crumbly faces up to 15 years in prison when her sentencing arrives on April 9th. The shooter's father, James Crumbly, is also charged with four counts of involuntary manslaughter, just like his wife. His trial is set to begin March 5th.
The chair of the National Transportation Safety Board says the problem that resulted in a door plug blowing out of a Boeing MAX 9 jet goes beyond that plane. Minutes into the flight on January 9th, the door plug flew off Boeing 737. On Tuesday, the Federal Aviation Administration said the government has depended on Boeing to regulate themselves. Today, Jennifer Homendy said last month's issue points to a string of quality problems at Boeing.
There is no way that this plane should have been delivered with four safety critical bolts missing. There's a problem in the process. We are digging in. We're not just digging into what's going on at Boeing, but we're also digging into FAA's oversight of Boeing as well.
Despite her assessment of this incident, Homendy says she would not hesitate flying on a 737 MAX 9 herself.
Former football player and actor Carl Weathers will still appear in a Super Bowl ad this Sunday. Weathers died last Thursday in his sleep, so FanDuel wanted to be sure it was cautious in its approach. With the blessing of Weathers' family, the Rocky star will appear in the ad. The executive at FanDuel says there will be some edits to make sure the commercial is appropriate. Turn around, don't drown is a familiar warning that we echo here at WRAL and meteorologists during severe weather, advising drivers not to drive into high water. A man in San Diego experienced how quickly that water can rise. It was caught live during a newscast.
Minutes before our live shot, there was someone who drove into the water, and I'm going to step to the side. As you can see, the gentleman's car is just about fully submerged, and now he is walking out of the water, seemingly very casually, to be honest.
Saying goodbye to that car, the NBC reporter was reporting live there when that man ignored the flood warnings and drove right into that overflowing river. He made it out of the car safely. The vehicle's totaled.
No matter how much we emphasize that safety warning, there are still folks who end up doing that when flooding happens. No rain for us today, just beautiful sunshine out there. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center, a pretty February day.
It is, and a pretty February day. I guess we would expect to be chilly, and it definitely is. It would be nice if we could put some of the sunshine together with the temperatures that we're going to see over the weekend, but it'll happen soon enough. We'll have those warm temperatures here. At the beginning of the newscast, I was showing you the whirligigs there in Wilson and how it's very breezy there. But then look at the difference here. The flag in front of the courthouse in Roxborough, completely still there. Right now in the Triangle, temperature 48 degrees. We'll likely climb on up to 52, 53 in the middle of the afternoon. Our dew point is 19. That just means it's a very dry air mass that we have in place right now. It is a little more blustery down to the south. Fayetteville gusting to 22. Goldsboro's gusting to 17. So, again, not quite as windy as yesterday, but certainly across the viewing area. Our wind is not still, and we're looking at a little bit of a wind chill. It's not a dangerous wind chill. It's just, you know, it's a little colder than it actually, it feels a little colder than it actually is because of the wind. For example, it feels like 40 in Roxboro. It feels like 45 in Durham and 43 in Southern Pines. It feels like 45 in Clinton and Goldsboro. So it'll feel like 40s for most of the day today. Here's a look at our big picture. A low pressure system almost completely off the screen at this point. That one was much closer to us yesterday. And because of the low and the high pressure system that's back here, it's not showing up on the map, but it's right near Houston right now. Because the two of those are fairly close together and we were right in the middle of them, we were seeing some stronger winds yesterday. Gradually that low is moving out. You can see a strong flow coming out of the north as you take a look at those wind streams. So it is still a fairly breezy afternoon for us, just not as windy as yesterday. 53 the high in Raleigh today, 52 in Durham, and 54 in Fayetteville for this afternoon, very close to normal. Once again, we do have that flow coming out of the north, but that changes as our high pressure system slides eastward. Highs rotate clockwise, so that's going to change the flow of the wind to southerly, and that's going to help to bring the warmth back in. And of course, the colors turn red because it's going to have some warmth along with it. So look at the difference. 54 is our normal high, 53 today and then 58 on Thursday. But we really get that southerly flow cranked up by the weekend. 64 on Friday, 70 Saturday, 65 on Sunday. Now, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, each day will have the potential for rain. But right now, Monday looks even wetter. So we do have some rain in the forecast. It isn't going to be anything frozen. 33 is our normal low. And tomorrow morning will be cold, like we talked about, down into the upper 20s. But by Friday morning, we're well above freezing. And then into the 50s, when that rain really starts to settle in, that'll be the coldest temperature, and our afternoon highs will be in the 60s. So nothing frozen coming this weekend. And we're about to run out of time. We've had snow into March, but You know, it doesn't happen that often. February 14th to the 20th, though, it does look like we could see temperatures below normal. So we'll have our close eye on it. But again, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we'll have our chance for rain climbing, but it will be just that, a chance for rain. After that, Monday, again, like I said, looks like the heaviest rain that we'll see. We could maybe see an inch or more on Monday. But coming up, I'll walk you through hour by hour Friday all the way through Monday so you can potentially plan around it for your weekend.
All right, Elizabeth, thanks. More affordable housing units are coming to downtown Raleigh, and they'll be honoring the city's Black history. Here, North Carolina Central's football coach's impassioned message, basketball coach, about remembering the Attleli community while helping Raleigh's neighbors at 5.
And a string of thefts from the Blue Postal Service mailboxes in Raleigh started when a postal worker was robbed. How criminals are using an arrow key to steal your mail. That's at 6. Well, still ahead this noon, Honda has recalled 750,000 vehicles. The issue that could put you in danger and when the automaker will perform those repairs.
Also, representation matters. How more toy companies are creating multicultural toys that reflect the diversity of our world. Honda is recalling thousands of vehicles to fix faulty airbag sensors. Some front passenger seat airbag sensors may crack or short circuit, which could prevent the airbag from being deployed in a crash. The recall involves certain Honda Pilots, Accords, HR-Vs, and Odysseys with model years 2020 through 22, as well as Acura, MDX, and RDX models. Acura is owned by Honda. Owners will be notified starting March 18th. Dealers will provide free replacements. Amazon may soon show you the name and photo of the person delivering your package. It's part of a test aimed at protecting the company's Flex delivery drivers. Amazon may also provide those drivers with Amazon-branded stickers and lights to put on their cars, since they often use their own vehicles. The move is likely in response to a report last year saying Flex drivers have been threatened after being mistaken for intruders.
Coca-Cola is making one of its latest specialty flavors permanent. Spiced is a new soda that blends the taste of Coke with raspberry and spiced flavors. Coke says the soda was selected because customers crave bolder flavors. The new drink will be available in both cans and bottles in various sizes. Coca-Cola Spiced goes on sale February 19th in the U.S. and Canada. A new sports streaming service is coming this fall. ESPN, Fox, and Warner Brothers Discovery are behind it, and it'll include offerings from at least 15 networks and all four major professional sports. A name for the streaming service and pricing will be announced at a later date. It will include games from Major League Sports, college sports, as well as golf, tennis, and the FIFA World Cup. Subscribers will have the ability to bundle the product with Disney Plus, Hulu, and Max.
All right, Beehive, listen up. We now have a better idea of when Beyonce's new hairline will swarm the industry. Beyonce revealed on Instagram she'll be launching a hair care line on February 20th. The 29-time Grammy winner posted this cryptic video featuring apparent home movie footage of her mother's salon in Houston, Texas. The brand is called Sacred, spelled C-E-C-R-E-D. The trademark request clears the company for production of hair care preparations, candles, vitamin supplements, and more.
It's a battle over what to do about the southern border, how a vote to impeach the Homeland Security Secretary revealed some kinks in the GOP chain.
A new program is in the works here in Raleigh for how emergency responders deal with 911 calls. When you can weigh in. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers. We'll be right back.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
As early as today, the House could vote again on impeaching Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Republicans thought they had enough votes, but a surprise stopped the measure in its tracks. NBC's Ryan Nobles reports on the impeachment vote divide and the controversial measure involving immigration, Israel, and Ukraine.
A stunning development on Capitol Hill and a day of chaos for House Republicans.
The resolution is not adopted.
Who were hoping to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. holding on to a razor-thin majority, there were a few Republican defections, but they still thought they had enough votes. That was until Democrat Al Green, recovering from surgery, made a surprise appearance, providing Democrats an extra vote, enough to kill the measure.
Yeah, they may have been caught a little bit off guard.
And moments later, Speaker Mike Johnson also failing to marshal enough support for another big Republican push, an Israel military assistance bill. The GOP already vowing to bring the Mayorkas impeachment articles up for a vote again soon.
A spokesperson for DHS calling on Republicans to, quote, abandon these political games and instead support the bipartisan national security agreement in the Senate. That bill, designed in part to confront the growing crisis at the southern border, is stalled. A frustrated President Biden placing the blame on Donald Trump.
He wants a political issue to run against me.
But Republicans who begged for changes at the border now arguing this package would make the situation worse.
This does more harm than good.
The result is the best and only hope of any type of border reform is effectively dead, while the crisis at the border continues to grow with no solution in sight.
That was Ryan Nobles. GOP House leaders claimed Mayorkas committed high crimes and misdemeanors for his handling of the southern border. Constitutional experts say the evidence against him does not reach that high bar.
Today, clean energy advocates asked the state court of appeals to overturn a change that allowed higher electric bills for solar users. They say the state regulators wrongly allowed Duke Energy to reduce its financial incentives for rooftop solar. They say regulators ignored the need for carbon reduction and the change has hurt the solar industry. Duke and state regulators say the change was needed because solar customers weren't paying their fair share for using the power grid. Homeowners in North Carolina won't have to deal with a 42% insurance rate hike, at least for now. State Insurance Commissioner Mike Causey rejected the proposal, saying the office received more than 25,000 emails, letters, and phone calls about the proposed rate hike, most of them against it. The last rate hike proposed in 2020 was 24.5%, which was negotiated down to 7.9%. The North Carolina Rate Bureau released this statement saying our bureau is responsible for collecting data on claims, and that data shows rates need to increase in order to maintain a healthy market in the state. A court date has been set for October 7th, unless both sides can reach a compromise before that.
The city of Raleigh could soon have another way to respond to mental health emergencies. City leaders are working on a new alternative response program that dispatches unarmed first responders to mental health and other nonviolent calls. WRL's Kelsey Coffey shares how the city wants the community's input to help develop the program.
Today, you can come here to the Student Union at NC State to offer your input about what this program should look like. You may remember when we first told you about the HEART program in Durham. This program in Raleigh would be similar. The city is looking to offer options other than the police when people call 911. These first responders would be certified to help during a mental health crisis. State data shows people are searching for the help. Calls to the suicide and crisis line in North Carolina increased by 31% from 2022 to 2023. If you can't come to today's meeting, there's other ways to share your thoughts. There's an online survey, a phone number to call, and two other in-person sessions, including one tomorrow. If you want more information about those, just head to our website, WREL.com. And today's meeting here at NC State is scheduled for 2 o'clock. Kelsey Coffey, WREL News in Raleigh.
Today, you can learn more about plans to create a single county fire protection service district in Johnson County. The plan would consolidate the county's 26 service districts into one, with the exception of the town of Wilson's Mills. A public meeting about the plan is happening from 6 to 7:30 tonight at West Johnston High School. Two more meetings will be held around the county in February.
Raleigh City Council has decided not to take up a resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. Instead, Mayor Marianne Baldwin read a statement during last night's meeting calling for peace. She also said the council could not reach a consensus to consider a resolution. Since November, the war in Gaza has dominated public comment sessions at council meetings. Hundreds of people have shown up to speak on both sides of the issue, though most called on the city to adopt a ceasefire resolution. Here's the mayor's statement and the reaction afterward.
Yes, our community is conflicted, but our values are evident. We call for the protection of all civilians and humanitarian relief. We call for the safe return of all hostages. We, like many others in our country, call on world leaders to work toward an end to this conflict and a peaceful long-term solution.
The city council has not issued a resolution. If it were, then the city council would have needed to have voted on it. Rather, the mayor spoke on behalf of the city council, which she can't do without a vote.
Some pro-Palestinian supporters find Mayor Baldwin's statement particularly confusing because they say they have signatures from current city council members who support a ceasefire resolution. Last month, Chapel Hill's town council also declined to take up a ceasefire resolution.
The time is now to take better care of your heart. Still to come, why Black Americans especially are at high risk for heart disease.
Plus, toys are often kids' first window into the world. How major brands are ensuring their toys reflect the people who play with them. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, just click report it in the WRL News app. February is American Heart Month. Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death in the U.S. Black people have the highest rates of uncontrolled hypertension in the world, which dramatically increases their risk for developing heart disease. Hypertension, also known as high blood pressure, can increase your risk of developing heart disease. High blood pressure can be attributed to numerous factors, including systemic racism.
So that includes food insecurity, housing insecurity, redlining, which really limits certain individuals from receiving opportunities and resources to better their health.
Simple lifestyle changes like eating healthier, getting adequate sleep, and getting regular physical activity can reduce high blood pressure and heart disease.
Medical professionals are sounding the alarm about prescription drug shortages. Experts testified before federal lawmakers about the basic life-saving drugs they say are often in short supply. The experts say there are now more than 250 active medication shortages. Although drug shortages are nothing new, 2023 saw some of the worst in nearly a decade, affecting millions of people. They include older generic sterile injectables that are considered a staple in hospitals, like painkillers and cancer treatments. The CDC says a deadly listeria outbreak that has lasted a decade is linked to cheeses and other dairy products made by Rizzo Lopez Foods. The California-based dairy company issued a nationwide recall of 60 products under various brand names. Since the first case in 2014, two people have died, dozens have gotten ill, and another 23 were hospitalized.
When children see themselves reflected in books, toys, and puzzles, they feel validated. After the break, we'll share a few top picks to help little ones widen their circle.
Plus, the sweet taste of freedom. How you can ditch your significant other without leaving a bad taste in their mouth.
And here's a live look this noon at the Legislative Building downtown Raleigh as you watch WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
Toy companies are focusing on appealing to a wider audience by creating playthings that make children of all ages feel included and represented. Ashley DeBorkin spoke to the senior editor of the Toy Insider for his top pick of toys that promote diversity and inclusion.
Diversity and inclusion has become a priority for toy companies, and Toy Insider shares their pick of toys reflective of the world kids see today.
Some of the great toys out there right now include guns, sustainably soft baby dolls that come in a variety of different skin tones and hair colors. They're super snuggly. They're also sustainable, so they're good for the environment. You can also find the 18-inch dolls like the HBCU dolls, which celebrate historically Black colleges and universities. Those are from Purpose Toys. Awesome 18-inch dolls that are posable and have beautiful hair and outfits. There's also a great company called Upbounders that has a variety of awesome toys and games. This is the stacking cubes. These have pictures of moms working different jobs. And of course, it gets into that tactile play that toddlers are really going to love.
Classic toys are getting in on the action.
G.I. Joe, the Classified series. Nothing is more American than folks working together, and you can get all types of different multicultural members of the team in action figure form from the folks at Hasbro.
And the arts and crafts aisle also has something to offer.
Crayola is bringing it into the arts and crafts department with their Colors of the World collection, which has markers and crayons and all different types of things that are done in the colors of different skin tones that kids may find in the world around them. Overall, the toy industry, especially here in the U.S., has really grown in the past few years to look beyond what used to be considered the norm and really start zeroing in on how play, and I'm talking play in general, for kids shapes who they grow up to become.
Ashley Dvorkin reporting. An Australian reporter is getting her 15 minutes of international fame after slapping herself on camera. The co-hosts of the Today Show Australia were leading into a live segment, not knowing what would come next, and reporter Andrea Crothers was being swarmed by mosquitoes. She didn't just shoo those pests away, she slapped herself to get them off her. The team in studio just couldn't get enough of that hilarious outtake. But to ensure it didn't happen again, Crothers' next live shot, she wore a mosquito net. Cover up. Great idea, right? Hey, solutions. That's what she found.
You know. Just be careful where you're hitting.
Too cold, Elizabeth, for any mosquitoes around here, right?
Yeah, but they're at the end of their summer right now. And so, boy, you remember how it gets around here. And, you know, like August and September, that's what they're dealing with there. Boy, I can feel for her for sure. So enjoy our pretty weather before those mosquitoes come out. We still have a few more months before you have to deal with that. This is a live look at Pinehurst, and there are a few folks out there. It actually looks like they're working on the green right there, and so that's maybe why we don't see as many people out, because honestly, if the sun is out, even if it isn't, you know, that green right there at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club is almost always full. Beautiful blue sky everywhere, and taking a live look at Goldsboro at Fayetteville right there in front of our newsroom on Hay Street. Apex looks pretty. People walking around there and up and down through Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill restaurants. It's a nice day. It's a little chilly, good jacket weather, good coat weather out there. And we do have rain on the way. We're going to start to see our wind shifting. Right now, we have a flow coming out of the north, but that's going to shift in the next 24 hours to come out of the south and start to draw up more moisture from the.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. The State Highway Patrol has released new information about the crash in Harnett County yesterday, which killed a